Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Everybody, welcome to this week's edition of the Still Realto Show, episode number 669 for December 8th, 2022. This is your NXT Deadline Preview and Predictions edition of SRTU. I am one half of the show. I'm a very happy Yankee fan, Jeff Peck, joined as usual by an optimistic Chicago Cubs fan, the one and only Dr. Trey Franklin. Dr. Trey, what is up, my friend?
Yeah, like hope springs eternal for Cubs fans. Like we're always excited until June. And we're just like, all right, wait till next year. I mean, we had a good run.
Hey, you've won a championship in less years than my favorite team has.
Did I ever tell you the story about that?
That you threw the last pitch? You were on the game?
No. No, I'm not Henry Rowan Gardner. I didn't jump out of the crowd.
No, I don't think I've heard of this. So this is a story about what? You were game six? So,
game seven.
Or seven, yeah.
Yeah, was it? I think it was 2017.
16.
So I was on the road traveling, and I'd only been dating my now current wife at this point for like 6 or 8 months. So she did not know my superstitions for baseball. She did not know my diehard loyalty to the Chicago Cubs. And at that point, you know, Cubs fans, 1908, we hadn't won a World Series in 108 years at this point. And game seven rolls around. I'm watching the game in some crappy hotel outside of Atlanta. There was literally like gunshots. I could within earshot of where my hotel was. And I'm cooped up. I ordered a pizza. I got my soda. I got a beer. Like I'm good. I'm sitting down. I'm watching the game. Cubs take an early lead. The wife calls me in like the fifth inning. And being the gracious, you know, at the time boyfriend I was, I answer the phone, we're talking, and I tell her, I'm like, listen, the Cubs are winning right now when I answer this phone call. If they start losing this game, I will hang up on you. And she was like, sure, you know, like what, like kind of how girls do. And sure enough, I think it's like top of the seventh, Jose Ramirez hits a home run, the Indians take the lead. And I literally, like, I have to go, and I hung up on her. And I'm like, just intently watching this game. She's trying. I literally turned my ringer off so I wouldn't be distracted. I turned my hat around backwards. I got the rally cap going the whole nine yards. At this point, by the time we get to, I think it's like the bottom of the seventh, bottom of the eighth, whenever the Cubs took the lead back, she's called like six times.
And oh my God.
Cubs come back, take the lead, bottom of the ninth, runners get on base. Cubs end up winning the game. The streak is broken. I start crying because I start remembering all the days at my grandma's house watching Cubs baseball on WGN with Harry Carey. Like, there are like some tears rolling, just absolute joy. And then I'm like, oh crap, she's now called me 14 times since the bottom of the sixth. I answer the phone. She's like, you hung up on me. I'm like, listen, there are certain things in this life that I'm very religious about. Chicago Cub baseball in the World Series in Game 7 is one of those things I never thought would happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I hung up on you. So when I tell you, if the Cubs, if you jinx me, I will hang up on you. Now you know that you're prepared for this. So it took me, I had to drive back from Atlanta the next day, still glowing about the World Series win. But I had to bring flowers and candy home to her to kind of get her to appease. But yes, I literally hung up on my girlfriend because of the Chicago Cubs and the World Series.
No, I totally understand superstitions. I kind of broke those things for me in sports probably like 10 plus years ago, because it's like so silly when you talk about it out loud. You're like,
yeah,
if I wear this jersey and these pair of pants and these socks and these shoes and I sit in this exact chair, the Green Bay Packers, New York Yankees, Chicago Cubs will win this sports game. And it's like, you say that out loud, like as I say it, and it's the most ridiculous thing in the world. It's like, okay, why did Aaron Rodgers throw 4 touchdowns? Well, it's because Jeff Peck had these same pair of socks on and he's been wearing for 16 straight weeks. No, it's not possible at all. It makes zero sense. So the superstitions for me is definitely broken. In regards to those Game 7 2016 World Series game, I think when I look back at my life, when the time comes to meet my maker, as they say, and I'm thinking to myself, some of the greatest sports games I've ever seen in my life, I think that 2016 Game 7 of the World Series, Cleveland Indians, now the Cleveland Guardians, taking on the Chicago Cubs, will be one of those games. And I know it was heart-wrenching for both those fan bases. I know it was heart-wrenching for you, especially to go through. But I remember just sitting there watching and going, man, I think this is the greatest baseball game I've ever seen in my life. And yeah, obviously I'm going to be biased for other things because there's like actual emotional attachment, especially times for like the Yankees won. Like I think of 03 Game 7 ALCS, Yankees Red Sox is probably the greatest game I ever saw. But I mean, that's up there for two teams that I've never, you know, that I'm not a fan of. And I just watch as a sport fan. That's up there. I think of Auburn, Alabama, the Iron Bowl from when they returned it. The field goal kick?
It's called the kick six. So, yeah, it was a return field goal for a touchdown.
And I'm not the biggest college football fan in the world, but I, like, walked into that game, and I just sat enamored watching it, and I'm like, I cannot believe what I'm seeing. And that was one of those things that was right up there.
Yeah, that was in my early years in Alabama where I really had not formed an allegiance. But to this day, I remember exactly where I was when that happened. I remember this is really before you and I became friends, is Diamondbacks Yankees when Luis Gonzalez singled up the middle to drive home the winning run for the Diamondbacks to win. Like there are certain moments that, because back then I hated all the Yankees fans because I'm like, how can you root for the Yankees? Because they're always the richest team in the world. They get all the good players. And then now I'm an Alabama fan. I'm like, it's kind of the same thing. Like we get all the good play, you know, it's that same vibe. But yeah, like I'm oddly like, so all my baseball superstitions, except for extreme situations around the window, like my football ones, I can't wear any gear on a 49er game day. Cause if I even wear just a hat, they lose, they lost to the Broncos. And I wore my hat that night because there's no way they're losing to the Broncos. The Broncos are horrible and they lost. And I'm like, all right, so yeah, I only wear my 49er gear on any day that's not game day, because every time I wear it on game day, they lose.
Has there ever been a superstition as a wrestling fan, Dr. Dre, tying it back and all this stuff? Like I'm trying to think to myself, has there ever been a time where I had some sort of superstition for a predetermined wrestling match? And I don't think there is. I mean, I guess I would have to go back to when I was like a little kid watching and how much pain and agony there would be when Bret Hart lost, or, you know, even later in life. I think the last time I had like true investment of I really want this person to win was when The Rock took on Cena at WrestleMania 28, because that was like two generations, mine, the Attitude Era, taking on the current. But yeah, I think the only other time that I was like emotionally tied, maybe even had any superstitions, was 94, 95, 96 Bret Hart time.
So in my early years, you know, being a diehard Dr. Steve Williams fan, like if Dr. Death was on TV, nobody was allowed to talk to me. I was like, you guys, I'm not missing this match. And I remember when him and Gordy lost the tag belts to the Steiner brothers, I was visibly upset and crying. And it was weird for my parents because my parents understood babyface and heel. But at the time, Doc and Gordy were heels. And so they're like, why are you upset? I'm like, it's still Dr. Death. I don't care if he's a bad guy or not. He's still my favorite. And then when I went through my Shawn Michaels fandom in that same window, WrestleMania 14, when he lost to Austin, I was pissed. And then that was probably like the last time I was really emotionally invested in one wrestler was WrestleMania 14. Now, when we went to WrestleMania in New Orleans, my wife was a diehard Asuka fan. And when Charlotte Flair ended the streak, like I'm sitting there in the upper deck and my wife is screaming profanities that Asuka lost that match. And I found it amusing because I just I thought it was a dumb finish, but I wasn't that into the characters. I don't think I've been invested in a character where I get upset about. I mean, I guess maybe Kevin Owens.
I was just going to say, I think I know my last time now.
Actually, I think the KO match with Roman Reigns when he got the handcuff spot, that match, the last man standing match was the last time I really got pissed off at a result.
Well, that was like a complete botch.
Yeah. And then I thought Owens should have got one, you know, because he hasn't been champion since his Universal run with Chris Jericho. So I thought it was pretty hot. I thought he could have got one. They could have switched the belt back a month later and I would have been okay with it. But I think that run there with Reigns was like the last time I was really emotionally into a guy. Because, you know, we talk on the show, like, you know, I was going to go to wrestling school and my envisioning of how my character was going to be was who Kevin Owens became. So I'm always tied to Kevin Owens. And then plus, you know, having Sammy Franklin run around, we're always going to be tied into Sami Zayn.
Yeah. I was, as you were talking there, I'm thinking to myself too, I think 2015, was it 2015? Kevin Owens, John Cena, U.S. Championship match. I don't know if it was a U.S. Championship match, but the one where Kevin Owens debuted at that pay-per-view, that was up there for me. And then I just recently saw this poster with everything going on this weekend with Final Battle. Kerry Silken had announced that he won't be at Final Battle, which is like the first time ever he won't be at Final Battle. And he shared the 2010 Final Battle like event card. It was something that they sold there, and it was headlined by Roderick Strong versus, you know, now known as Seth Rollins, but back then Tyler Black. It was his last match before he went to WWE. I was there in the arena. The main event of the match was the with Fight Without Honor match, El Generico, Kevin Steen, now Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. That was probably one of the last times, too, that I was really into something. And I wanted to see Kevin Steen win, and I knew he wouldn't, but El Generico got his revenge. But, you know, I've been watching a lot of the Tales from the Territory stuff, Dr. Trey. Have you been checking that on Vice completely? I know you and I mentioned one or two episodes, but have you watched the entire series?
No, I haven't watched the entire series. I'm a little behind on it. Like, I watched the first two episodes and then you know, been busy with work, but...
Yeah. So, anyway, in regards to that show, though, it's... I just, you know, they talk about the old times, and that... You kind of miss it in a way, the era of kayfabe where you didn't know what was real or staged or, you know, scripted. And I kind of miss those times of professional wrestling. We have them from time to time. Things pop up. CM Punk, right? 2012 pipe bomb promo. But it's few and far between due to the internet. And you basically just watch professional wrestling now as an entertainment form and not like, oh, these two people legitimately hate each other. Sometimes they get it. Sometimes they don't. You know, there's a lot more creative, especially, you know, I guess the fans are more smartened up than ever before. And it just makes you kind of clamor a little bit from those, for me, mid-90s, early 90s professional wrestling when I was a young kid. And I thought it was just completely real and that Hulk Hogan was the all-American hero and Macho Man really dressed like that in real life. You miss those days, to be honest with you, Dr. Trey. Why fell in love with wrestling in the first place?
Yeah, and that's why, I at the end of every show, I always tell folks, go out and check out your local independent shows. And it's all, I mean, it is for checking out, finding those guys who are going to be on the rise, but it is also like, I love independent wrestling because I still find those crowds where they suspend their disbelief. Like, they'll come up and talk to the wrestlers before and after the show, but during the show, like they're into it just like it was back in the day. And it's weird, like when you travel with it, the demographics, because you go to some shows and they're smart marks and you hear the, you know, you fucked up chants and, you know, all those things. But when you find those little small wrestling shows in the dive towns in the middle of nowhere, and you do get those, you know, stereotypical wrestling fans that we talk about from back in the day, like, you know, the old lady who's swinging at every single bad guy that walks by. And, you know, you see those little kids in the front row looking at you like you're a superhero. That's why I still love that part. And, you know, you still get that from time to time in pro wrestling. But I mean, pro wrestling with all the internet stuff and social media stuff, it's like getting the spoilers to like your favorite movie before it ever comes out. It's like, it's still a good movie, but man, if I had been surprised, or if I had been excited, or if I had been emotionally invested, like how much better would this have been? And, you know, I every now and then I'll disconnect from the dirt sheets and all those things and just kind of watch wrestling without the social media presence. And it's like, man, that's really good and really enjoyable. And, you know, like Sheamus and Gunther at Clash of the Castle, I kind of thought Gunther would win, but man, just the way that match went, like that kind of hooked me back into wrestling for a little bit. And then you watch another show and you're like, oh God, this is awful. You know, it's just that cross section of how people put their shows together and how much stuff is out there does kind of make me fall in and out of love with wrestling. You know, it's like, it is like a soap opera. Like There are times I watch Days of Our Lives, you know, I'll be off work for a few days and catch Days of Our Lives, and I can catch back up with all the characters I've known and loved for 40 years.
Everybody knows Bo.
Bo and Hope, you know, it's like Roman and Marlena, you know, all those things. You can fall back in love with it, but then you start, you know, you read Soap Opera's Digest and you're like, oh crap, so-and-so's leaving the show in 3 weeks. Damn it. I'm going to miss them. That sucks. And then you see them on another show and you're like, it's the same complex. And so that's why, like, every now and then, just I don't disconnect from this show, but, you know, take a break from your social media and just kind of enjoy wrestling for what it is in its purest form. And usually that'll help re-cement that love for it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. It's sometimes you just clamor for those old days. I'm not as active as I used to be on social media, and it's great. Highly recommend to anybody out there. So yeah, you just kind of think about the good old days, especially this time of the year when it's the holidays, and you look back at holidays as a kid or with your family members, stuff like that, and it's like, man, I miss wrestling when it was like that. So moving on to some of the news items from this week's edition of the show here. First thing, Dr. Trey, that's in the news. It's a big deal. People changing. You're talking about reading in Soap Digest or Soap Opera Digest that so-and-so was leaving a show. Well, we do have a big name leaving one show and returning to another, but they just won't happen to be on television. We talked about it on last week's show, but it is confirmed William Regal's AEW run is over. His return to WWE is imminent. Tony Khan confirmed that William Regal is leaving AEW for WWE during his ROH Final Battle media call. Regal expressed in October, according to Tony Khan, he wanted to return to WWE to work with his son, Charlie Dempsey, along with his friends. At the time, Tony Khan's mom was going through suffering strokes, so Khan felt compelled to help Regal out. He was actually at the hospital, he said on the media call. When he took the call from Regal, and his mom has I guess, been in really bad health since then, with Tony Khan, you know, thoughts and prayers out to him and his family. Regal, as part of this release, Regal cannot appear on WWE television 2023. He is returning to work as a producer coach behind the scenes role for WWE and is due back in that first week of 2023. All in all, I mean, I guess it's surprising, but not surprising. I mean, this is the first time we've heard that somebody asked for their release, basically, to return to WWE, and they were granted it. There were rumors out there about Andrade El Idolo and Malakai Black. And then there's even stuff that WWE may have done or not done creatively to prepare for Malakai Black or Andrade El Idolo to return. The William Regal stuff, from a creative standpoint, writing him off, his involvement in the MJF John Moxley storyline. One minute he's, you know, pro MJF, and then MJF's taking him out. He's being stretchered out on a stretcher. His mouth is bleeding. They've done a horrible job putting the neck collar on him. I noticed that as someone who works in emergency services. Poor William Regal's mouth was being covered by a neck brace. But and then you had the weird promo that was supposedly aired or recorded prior to him getting beat up by MJF, and he's wearing a Blackpool Combat Club shirt, and he said he's you know, Blackpool Combat Club till he dies and all this stuff. Creatively, it was all very, very strange. And I know they were put in a very bad spot, but it just was not executed well. From my standpoint as a viewer, very like poor, like all thrown together, like a vegetable soup in a way. It was just strange. But two parts here, Dr. Trey. Confirmation, William Regal on his way back to the WWE. Your thoughts on that? And then creatively, the way that AEW has executed this, I guess they've known this since about mid-October. How did you think AEW handled the entire situation?
No. There's a part three to this. Are you hating on vegetable soup?
No. I'm a big vegetable soup fan. I'm just saying it's all over the place. There's a lot of vegetables. Okay. A lot of different type of vegetables. Sometimes there's alphabets in there. Yeah, it's all over the place.
I was just making sure we weren't crushing.
No.
So as far as Regal going back to WWE, it's a very classy move on AEW's part to kind of let him go and not renew the contract, you know, so Regal can go back. And to me, like when somebody's like, hey, you know, my son just, because, you know, the whole NXT UK, NXT Europe thing was kind of in flux. We didn't know who they were going to keep, who they weren't going to keep. And then when you see they're keeping Charlie Dempsey, like to me, like if I'm Regal, yeah, I want to go back and work with my kid and help him become either, you know, the best performer he can be, avoid the pitfalls and mistakes that maybe, you know, hampered my career. Like it's a very classy move on AEW's part to let him do that. I think also it's also dependent upon the man himself. And with a guy like William Regal, like ever since he, you know, got clean back in, like, was it 2002, 2003 when he won King of the Ring,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, kind of fell off. Like, since that time, I don't know anybody who's like, I hate William Regal. Like, I you don't really hear anybody say anything bad about William Regal. All you hear is, like, how beloved he is by everybody he's worked with ever since that time. Across all people. Like, there's, I mean, he's worked with everybody over his run in NXT and WWE, so, like, I've never anything. So I think that factors into it, where you hear a guy like Andrade or Malakai or, you know, CM Punk's not getting out of his contract anytime soon. Look, those guys can be, lack of a better term, a pain in the ass at times. Regal's not been that guy. So I think that out of respect for Regal is one of the reasons why they did this. And it's a, you know, gracious move on AEW's part. Now, it did leave them in a lurch. I, like you, watched the collar, you know, put in the neck brace on, and I was like, man, I think you guys just broke his neck three times. like it was really, really rough. And I, in my head, I'm like, man, if I really don't want that person working on me. And I remember actually a friend of mine got to play an EMT on Raw back when Braun Strowman first kind of got his run as a heel, and it was just crushing everybody. And he was an EMT. I can't remember who Braun beat up to put on a stretcher, but I watched my buddy put a halo on a guy, and I'm like, James, you just broke that guy's neck three times. Like that guy's hurt. Like, it's not even believable. But you know, but like the whole angle itself, I'm like, yeah, it could have been done a little bit better. And maybe instead of having Regal turn heel and doing that swerve to swerve us again, like you just have the Firm interfere and then Regal confronts him and MJF takes him out. Because that video kind of felt like if you've ever watched that movie or that TV show and you get that last will and testament, they're like, so if you're watching this, apparently I'm dead. So this is what I want. It was kind of that vibe. And even Tony Schiavone kind of presented it that way. Like, hey, so Regal recorded this just in case something happened to him. And let's watch it now. It's like, what? Like, and then why did you put this out right after it happened? Like, you know, if it was a real life non-kayfabe situation, you'd put this out right away. But no, we're gonna wait and let it linger in the air for a little bit. So it was a little weird. And then
can I just interject there what I thought was the weirdest part, and I don't know if this is where you were going. So they play the clip, Tony Giovanni asks Blackpool Combat Club, specifically John Moxley, their thoughts on it, and Moxley completely ignored it.
Yeah, that was, I mean, and that's,
it was so bad.
Yeah, and then like even just watching the explanation of it, like, I did this because these guys don't need me.
Mm-hmm.
So I did this to prove they didn't need me, but I'm going to miss you guys and I'm with you guys forever. And then what do you say? The emotion's been real. Like, I'm like,
yeah, yeah, you did.
Did they get our guy, Dave? Did he just steal from our guy, Dave?
It's still real to me, damn it.
It's still real to William Regal, damn it. And then you're right, like they get in the ring and then there's Yuta, Claudio, and Moxley, and they all are sitting around like just dumbfounded.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what did we just watch? And then you're right, like Moxley just kind of blew the whole thing off. And then, you know, my big question is, they didn't really answer as it. Well, if Regal's not there, are they still Blackpool? Like, they did.
Is it just, is it Cincinnati Combat Club? Triple C?
Well, I mean, Danielson, I mean, is it Claudio's not from Cincinnati. Like,
I mean, is Claudio still got to be in the group after ROH Final Battle on Saturday?
Different thing. Like, that's, when we cover that, I'll get it. Oh, my God. Anyway. But, you know, Brian Danielson's from, like, Seattle, and I don't really know Seattle and Cincinnati having the same demographic.
Yuta's from Philly.
Are they just going to be the Combat Club? We're just the Combat Club.
The Combat Club. TCC. No, okay.
TCC, taking care of combat.
Which is better than BCC because it just sounds like an email to me. It's like, okay, that's weird.
I'd never thought of that, but yes, we are blind copying everybody.
That's their tagline. We're blind copying you on an email. Yeah. No, don't you. Don't.
We don't want you to know that we got emailed about this report.
You have been blind copied. What?
So, yeah. Wait a minute.
And then Wild Thing plays.
Yeah, is every email to John Cena blind courtesy copied?
Probably. Okay. Probably. Moving on, ROH Final Battle. It is this Saturday. We're not going to preview and predict the show because it's such a crapshoot. We'll talk about it. It is, because I don't even know if I'm going to watch it, and that's a question, right? I feel like the last couple times we've done these ROH stuff when under Tony Khan's rule, we've asked the question, like, are you interested in watching the show? And when I look at the card is Jericho Claudio, Garcia Yuta, Mercedes Martinez Athena, Samoa Joe Juice Robinson, Swerve in Our Glory, Shane Taylor Promotions, Don Castle and the Boys versus the Embassy, and FTR versus the Briscoes in a double dog collar match, which was the worst way they could have done it was how they closed off Dynamite.
Oh, yeah. That was awful.
It was pretty shitty. But looking at the card, this is the first time that I'm interested in watching the show. This is the first ROH show under Tony Khan's regime that I think I may tune in and watch despite us not covering it. I mean, what do you cover? It's not really a promotion. It's like a subsidiary of AEW. This is basically like covering a loaded edition of Dynamite or Rampage. Hopefully it doesn't go four hours long, but it doesn't feel like it's its own promotion yet. But this is one of the first cards. I'm like, okay, they may be building something here. Tony Khan's, you know, teasing that there's going to be a big announcement. A lot of speculation. It's basically going to be, you know, where we could watch ROH television going forward. And maybe this is one of the launching points. So for me, I may tune in on Saturday, Dr. Trey. I'm intrigued and interested in that this card that they put together so far.
Yeah, on paper, the card is good. The build for a few of the matches have been good. The build for a couple other ones have been and then the build for, like, on paper, the match I want to see the most is the one that had the worst build for. Like, we have announced it at the end of Dynamite with, like, a signed sheet of paper that a four-year-old could write out by a tag team that's not even featured in the match. So, like, horrible build, but it's the match that I kind of want to see, just because I know how good the Briscoes and FTR are. So I'm interested in the card. Personally, I'm a little bummed out because one of my good friends was a part of Shane Taylor Promotions and he's not in the match. So I'm a little bummed out about that. But otherwise, like, the card itself on paper is pretty freaking good. So it's like, I kind of want to watch it in spite of how it was built up. But then the intrigue for what the announcement is going to be is there as well. So yeah, I might check it. I probably won't watch it this weekend. I'll probably catch it Monday or Tuesday on one of our sites that we use that we don't talk about because it's probably illegal. But yeah, I'll probably check it out Monday or Tuesday and see how the show went.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's looking good. And then you have a theory here on the Jericho Claudio match.
I just don't like it. It's really reminiscent of, like, any time that we've had that guy saddled throughout our fandom of wrestling, whether it's Lance Storm or Steve Blackman or now Claudio, where they get that label of, he's a great wrestler, but he's boring. It's like, let's put him in a really silly situation and see if a personality comes out of it. That's just what it kind of reminds me of. Like, I really think Jericho's winning this match and Claudio has to join the JAS, and then they'll make him do stupid shit to try to get. And this is how I'm saying, I mean, I'm cursing about it because it's like one of those things, like, it's just really cheap booking that we've seen with several guys for the years who had that label of fantastic wrestler, mediocre personality, which where you see Claudio and up, down, down, you know, the guy's really funny. He's really entertaining. I just hate that for some reason he gets typecast in this role within the professional wrestling world.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I hear you. I mean, I kind of like the build to it. I got to be honest.
I just see like the whole thing with Hager and the hat and all that stuff. Like, I just feel like
it's kind of funny, right? It's catching on a little bit.
I don't know, but
they're trying.
Is there part there? But there's also part of me that wants to see Claudio and Hager back together.
Oh, you know, the people. That's what the fans want.
Yeah, I actually liked them as a tag team. I thought some of their chemistry was really, really good. And, you know, maybe outside the WWE umbrella, it can be really fun and entertaining. But at the same time, like, I just don't, you know, Claudio is the Ring of Honor champion, and now he may just end up running around wearing a silly hat and making weird faces and stuff. I don't know.
I mean, that feels like that's the result, right? Like, yeah. Jericho's retaining, right?
Yeah. Because I don't think Claudio's the guy. Like, there's going to be a guy who comes along here before long where we're like, yes, this is, and this announcement may be the turning point in all this, where there's going to be a guy who comes along that they go, this is who we're building Ring of Honor around. And I don't think it's a Bryan Danielson. I don't think it's a Samoa Joe, just because they're a little older. And to me, this is going to be like your younger upstart. This is going to be like, they want this, if they do it right, it's going to be like what NXT was originally for WWE. We're like, we're using a lot of really good wrestlers who have to work on ability and work on their promo skills. But this is going to be our foundation company to supplement AEW as the guys get older and they leave. So
does anyone stand out to you in that role right now, Dr. Dre? Because I don't think so. I don't see anyone right now that I'm like, I mean, that should be it.
If you'd asked me 4 months ago, it's a Daniel Garcia.
Like, okay. Yeah, fair.
Kind of hot streak. And even
Wheeler Yuta.
And like I said, Wheeler to an extent. You know, maybe at some point Jack Perry becomes your fan, like one okay, younger.
Fair. Guys. I like that.
You know, and let AEW be like, I mean, I don't want to say, you know, AEW is like old man wrestling league and Ring of Honor is like young guy wrestling league almost, but I don't know how they want to position it. But to me, Ring of Honor needs to kind of get back to what it was originally, which
what
is.
What about Wardlow?
I don't know if Wardlow fits because of his build. And the way he's kind of like, when he gets on a run, he's that organic hot streak guy that you want, upper mid card main event guy on your bigger shows. To me, this is like, hey, we have the contract. We have to deal with QT Marshall and Nightmare Factory. We have affiliations with other Japanese places and build it up that way instead of, you know, supplementing some guys that should be main event guys.
Yeah, you know, I'm following what you're saying right now. You want Cole Carter to be ROH World Champion. Andrew Solo.
By the way, can we get Aaron Cole Solo. Carter? Can we get Cole Carter versus Colt Cabana and have the winner join the Combat Club?
Ooh, okay.
That's a lot of seats. I'm just trying to line up all the letters here.
Final thoughts here on ROH Final Battle, Dr. Dre, because I got a good question for you I want to bring up.
Okay. Should be entertaining and intriguing at the very least, despite some of the builds.
.. despite some of the build. Real quick, AEW opened up Dynamite Diamond Battle Royal. Ricky Stark wins. Ricky Stark's MJF go toe-to-toe in a promo battle. And I thought it was one of the better segments I've seen in the last quarter from AEW. I thought it was very entertaining, really, really well done. And if you weren't intrigued to watch MJF versus Ricky Starks on Wednesday, shame on you already. And two, I looked at this and I went, you know, they may have something. This could be a long-time feud, a long-term feud, a long-time feud. I wouldn't mind seeing these two go toe-to-toe on the microphone every once in a while. What did you think of that segment? Did you think it was as shiny and new as I thought it was, or did you think it was kind of lame?
I thought it was good. I thought it ran a little long.
Fair. Like, I thought very fair.
Ricky Starks' promo went a little long because he started using a couple of phrases multiple times within that. I also did think, like, this could be a feud that you can use now, you can use next year, you can use it again in 5 years. I don't want to say Orton Cena, but it is kind of like, you know, these are younger guys that could be foundational building blocks. My only issue with it is I'm watching Ricky Starks when MJF referred to him as basically like a knockoff version of Dwayne. Like, I'm watching him going, I can see that. Like, I, you know, like, Have you ever been to like a cheap dollar store and they have like knockoff wrestling figures and they look kind of similar to somebody?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can definitely tell the difference. I was getting that comparison. Ricky Starks has to get a little bigger. That was my big, like, I'm watching.
Fair.
Like promo wise, he's right there. He can do it. Charisma, you know, he's got the charisma. He just has to get a little bigger. Like that's my only thing. Like if you want this guy to be a world champion, he doesn't look world champion yet, but he's a guy that I can see in 3 years, if he works on his build, could look like a world champion. Rocky Maivia, when he first came in, did not look like a world champion. Rocky Maivia turned into a guy who looked like a world champion.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I could totally understand the build stuff. That's how I also feel about guys like Jack Perry too. It's like, you know, these guys could be stars, just need a little bit of muscle mass on them. So,
well, there's a truth to, like, you know, remember when CM Punk was world champion and Vince had that edict that he wanted his world champion to not look like a guy you could beat up in a bar? Like, that was supposedly the rumor. Like, Vince wanted his world champions to look like the guy that you know you wouldn't mess with.
Which makes sense.
There is some truth to that, because how do I buy into a guy? Like, yeah, we've had Ricky Starks beat Powerhouse Hobbs. We've had Ricky Starks beat Brian Cage. But when we're watching that match, how believable do we really feel that happening? And you have to take that into consideration when you're trying to catch the casual fan who doesn't know these guys. Like, you know, Rey Mysterio doesn't look like a world champion, but when you watch Rey Mysterio and the way he works a match, you're like, okay, I understand how he beats those guys. Ricky Starks spearing Brian Cage does not look believable to me as a finish. So you have to be mindful of those things when you're trying to address your casual audience who may have never seen Ricky Starks and go, how the hell that little bitty guy just spear the big giant guy and that guy go down and actually stay down. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, how did he not separate his shoulder?
Yeah, like how? Yeah, exactly. So, like that guy should break his collarbone when he spears Brian Cage, and it doesn't happen. But then again, Brian Cage sounds like he's a member of the Mickey Mouse Club, but he actually cuts a promo.
True. That is I don't understand what you mean there, actually.
His voice does not match his body. You know, it just doesn't line up. Like, you hear him, you're like, if you listen to a phone call with Brian Cage on, you're like, this guy's 5'10", 220. Like, he doesn't sound big when he talks. Like, you know, you hear Big Show talk, you hear Omos talk, you hear Roman talk. They're all, you know, deeper voice, gravelly. Brian Cage sounds like he, you know, it just is like 6 months out of puberty. So he's just not quite there yet.
Speaking about favorites of Dr. Trey Franklin here, Sasha Banks is reportedly set to make her first wrestling appearance since the WWE walkout. There's been a lot of conflicting reports that she'd be on. Her and Naomi were on their way back to WWE once Triple H came in, that they were working on creative. We should expect them to be back soon at Clash at the Castle, Extreme Rules, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, you name it. They were supposed to be at every one of these shows. Well, according to PW Insider, Sasha Banks is expected to show up on the January 4th New Japan Pro Wrestling Wrestle Kingdom 17 show from the Tokyo Dome. There is an IWGP Women's Championship match on the card as Kairi, the former Kairi Sane, puts her title on the line against Tam Nakano. There's been some copyright stuff that's been out there. I think the name Mercedes Mon has been thrown around, which is Mercedes' first name.
I think it's Monet.
Mercedes Monet?
Like money, but like,
yeah. I didn't see any tilde on there, but that makes sense.
Well, I mean, not how many people actually use the tilde? How many people?
A lot. I use tildes.
What?
Everybody once they started texting, everybody forgot the proper pronunciations and way to do that. So tildes are still in there, my friend.
Where do you use the tilde in Jeff Peck?
Tarjay.
I thought you meant like your own name, like your
yeah. No, when I write, I'm going to Tarjay.
I got you.
AKA Target. Okay. But yeah, she is reportedly showing up in New Japan, which tells me her time in WWE is up, or there is an agreement between WWE and New Japan. Nobody really knows. This story broke about 3-4 hours ago, Dr. Trey. Thoughts here? You've never been the biggest Sasha Banks fan in the world, but her showing up at New Japan is going to be a pretty big deal.
I mean, it's interesting. And it's going to be interesting to see if there actually is a relationship with New Japan, because AEW kind of has a relationship with New Japan. So if there is some kind of relationship between WWE and New Japan, like that's a cool dynamic. Her being there for this particular match, I mean, there's a tie-in. Kairi Sane is still well liked within WWE, and maybe there is some kind of working agreement. I don't know who. Say Tom Nakano.
Yeah, I don't know if it's any relation to Bull.
Or okay, I didn't know if that was Bull's son. It's weird. It's a weird name for
no daughter. Role. Daughter, dude.
I'm sure if you say so, Jeff.
Kairi Sane is not defending the women's championship against a guy named Tom Nakano. This isn't Tom, T-O-M. It could be Tam Nakano, T-A-M, not Tom.
Is there a tilde in there or something that I don't know?
No, I don't see. I don't think Japanese use that.
But I mean, the whole concept is interesting. It's great for New Japan because it's going to draw some eyes to Wrestle Kingdom because it's missing that American influence like it's had in years past. So if you can get a Mercedes Moné to show up, that's great for them. I mean, it gets eyes on product because I mean, I know they're working on getting the U.S. version up and running full speed again here in 2023. So, hey, it's a good move on their part. And if there's a working relationship, that's a good part because right now we know WWE is not afraid to mention other promotions. So other than AEW, they don't mention them. But all the past promotions, New Japan, they'll mention everybody else other than AEW for the most part. So if you can get that cross, that cross promotion going there, it's good for both companies.
Yeah, wild, wild times. I would prefer to see this as like a surprise, like wake up the morning of January 4th and I'll check like one of my wrestling websites I go to and I see that Sasha Banks has shown up in New Japan rather than being leaked less than a month out. But I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see a month from now if Mercedes Moné, a.k.a. Sasha Banks, shows up to New Japan Pro Wrestling's Wrestle Kingdom 17 on January the 4th from the Tokyo Dome. Then that takes us to the very last premium live event for this month, Dr. Trey, for this year. The last premium live event, last pay-per-view, NXT Deadline. It comes to us this Saturday, December 10th from the WWE Performance Center in Orlando, Florida. Have you been keeping up with the product lately, Dr. Trey?
Yeah, I believe this event is brought to you by the Daily Planet as well. So, yeah, I've been paying attention.
Okay, so you have. And what are your thoughts on NXT right now? Because this has always been intriguing to see.
I'm happy with it. I'm not in love with it. It's kind of like after like the first 4 or 5 dates with a girl, you're like, all right, this might go somewhere. I can see it kind of developing. I mean, this one's definitely got me intrigued. The Iron Survivor stuff, Braun Breaker and Apollo fishing, like all these things.
Fishing, eating in a diner.
You know, I was waiting for them to break out in song and dance like Jericho and MJF did, but that didn't happen. But other than that, like, I'm good with the moving parts with it. Like, I'm starting to see some more depth to characters being built, some cross stories going into it. So, like I said, I'm not in love with it, but I'm kind of in like with it. I'm good with it right now.
All right, let's get into it. Preview and predictions. Last one we will cover for the year, which is just wild. I think we ended up covering like 25, 26 events. We'll have the official number on next week's show. Alba Fire taking on Isla Dawn, the former Kaylee Ray taking on Isla Dawn. I'm going to go with Isla Dawn. I don't think you have her come to NXT US only to just lose in a premium live event match, Dr. Trey.
See, this one's hard for me because Alba Fire needs a win because she got dominated by Mandy Rose. So
that's true.
It's a little tricky. I'm way behind you in the points right now, so it doesn't really matter how well I do. So I'll take the contrarian opinion on this one. I can make a case for Alba Fire win this match because she's a babyface. She needs a win and Toxic Attraction, and now Isla Dawn have been kicking her ass for the last like 3 months. So I'll take Alba Fire because I think she needs a win where she can win and then Isla Dawn destroys her after the match and Isla Dawn still looks strong.
Next match here is Pretty Deadly defending the NXT Tag Team Championship against the New Day. I wish we got this to be a build for the last couple of weeks rather than the surprise that we saw on Tuesday. Nonetheless, a very nice surprise. Dr. Trey, who do you like in this one?
Okay, first of all, Jeff, better surprise, New Day for NXT, that reveal, or Dem Boys on AEW?
Oh, my, New Day, not even close. Not even close.
So, man, this one's hard for me because I really want New Day to win. Like, I really want them to win this match. I think I'll take New Day. I'll be contrarian, and I'll take New Day just because I just really wanted them to have the NXT tag titles for just a little bit, even if it's just a month or two. But I think I'll take New Day because right now there's really not a whole lot for them to go on SmackDown after that match with the Usos, and you're building up you know, the Viking Raiders and, you know, everybody else on that roster. So I'll take the New Day because I feel like they can help NXT for a couple months until you find a good storyline. This is similar to the Dolph Ziggler storyline. So I'll take New Day.
I like you. I'm taking the New Day as well to become the new NXT Tag Team Champions. Next match here is the Women's Iron Survivor Challenge to determine the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship. Zoe Stark, Cora Jade, Roxanne Perez, Kiana James, and Indy Hartwell. Dr. Trey, I will go first. I'm going to take Roxanna Perez.
Yeah, to me, it comes down to Roxanna Perez or Indy Hartwell. I think I'll take Indy because she's had the most recent back and forth with Toxic Attraction. So I'll take Indy mainly because I don't think they can move her up to be with Dexter Lumis anytime soon. So I'll take Indy to get the win.
Next match here is Carmelo Hayes, JD McDonagh, Grayson Waller, Joe Gacy, and Axiom in the Men's Iron Survivor Challenge to determine the number one contender for the NXT Championship. Dr. Trey, who do you like in this one?
You know, it's weird because the people I want to pick have already had title matches against Bron Breakker, which to me, like for me, it comes down to Carmelo and Joe Gacy. I think I'll
Gacy did take on Bron Breakker as well.
Yeah, as I'm saying, like Joe Gacy and Carmelo Hayes have both faced Bron Breakker. So it's hard for me to decide because I'm like, I try to look for a new rivalry and really...
Wait, JD did Hayes? McDonough.
Yeah, he had one match.
I don't think they did anything major, though.
I thought, didn't they do a title versus, like a champion versus champion match? Like,
I don't believe so.
During Breakker's first run?
I don't believe so.
Okay, well, that helps me out. So I will take Carmelo Hayes because JD McDonagh and Joe Gacy have already had their shot. So I'll take Carmelo Hayes.
I'm going to take Carmelo as well. I think it's time that we finally see Carmelo and Bron Breakker in a world championship match feud, which then takes me to the next match here for the NXT championship. And I showed my cards already. Bron Breakker defense against Apollo Crews. Dr. Trey, this is your guy, Apollo Crews. I'm going to take Bron Breakker.
Yeah. And apparently Apollo can fish. I didn't know that. That's something new I learned. And he didn't use his old spear from his Nigerian gimmick to catch the fish either. So very proud of him stepping up from a spear to actual bait and tackle. But I'm taking Bron Breakker because, we're now seeing the friendlier side of Bron Breakker, so a little more depth to his character. Plus, on paper, Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes is much more of a match I want to see than Apollo and Carmelo. So I'll take Bron getting the win as well.
So there you go. Preview predictions for this Saturday's NXT deadline. We'll recap and review it on next week's edition show. Maybe we'll have some stuff to talk about in regards to Final Battle. And, of course, everything that goes on the rest of the week in the world of professional wrestling. Programming note, next week's show is the last, quote, regular show of the year. After next week, we kick off our holiday programming schedule on December 22nd, episode number 671. We will recap professional wrestling the year 2022 and listen back to our bold predictions from the first show of this year. On December 29th, episode number 672, we wrap up the year with our 2022 SRT Award Show special. On January 5th, 2023, for episode number 673, we kick off the new year with our 2023 Wrestling Preview Special. All that and more coming up here in the next couple weeks on SRTU. It's amazing how quick this year has gone by, but that's what happens when you get old like Dr. Trey and I. So with that said, let's get a couple plugs and spots out of the way. You can download the show every Thursday at realguyradio.com, RussellChatNet on Twitter, and the Still Real Though Show iTunes feed. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to help us climb the charts on iTunes. You can follow us individually on Twitter for myself at SRTU Jeff and for Dr. Trey Franklin at The Dr. Trey. And of course, don't forget to follow the show on Twitter at SRTU Podcast. With that being said, what is going on in the wonderful world of Dr. Trey Franklin this week?
Well, I haven't done this in a while, but I will say, so my plugs are brought to you by Metamucil, because Jeff said I'm old and we're getting ready to be irregular for a while. So make sure you take your Metamucil to stay regular going forward, guys. But like Jeff said, you can follow me on Twitter at the Dr. Trey. You can find me on Facebook and Instagram, Dr. Trey Franklin. When you're on Facebook, check out Rocket City Championship Wrestling, as they just had their 6-year anniversary show this past Saturday. And yours truly made an appearance. So I was actually able to make it up there in time to be part of the show. We have the Rocket City Rumble here coming up the first part of January. So be sure to go check it out on Facebook. And then also go check out your local independent wrestling shows so you can be a part of kayfabe and also find your next young stars that will probably be on Ring of Honor or at least in NXT at some point in the next couple of years.
So there you go. Support all the great things that support the Still Real Toast show. And keep spreading the word about SRTU. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy ROH Final Battle, NXT Deadline, everything. everything that's going on here as we wrap up the year with our final two big shows. And of course, we'll be back on next week's edition of SRTU next Thursday, Friday, whenever it drops. Tune in, download, spread the word, subscribe, and thank you for joining us, as always. So, for Dr. Jerry Franklin, I'm Jeff Peck. This is The Still Real Test Show. Thank you.